Welcome back, everybody, to SFG Podcast, episode 25. I am your humble, gracious host, Lion Time 4, aka Mr. Lion. I am with my co-host with the most, Mr. Sick, the scruffy one himself. When I say sick, it's S-E-K, not S-I-C-K. I'm not wishing sickness on anybody. I think somebody asked me that the other day. It's like, is his name Sick? Like, he's sick? I'm saying, no, it's S-E-K.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, I tried. So for the mass, the numerous people watching all over the world or listening all over the world, it is S-E-K. All right, so don't mess up my dog's name. Mr. Sick, the scruffy one, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm just glad that international break is finally done.
It's done.
Get back to, the season. This is when the season finally starts for us.
Facts. Big facts. I felt like it was a month, right? Like, jeez.
Yeah, it did feel like forever.
I think it's always the first international break that's so long, right? Because it's just like, yo, it's only really been a week, though. Like, last week was deadline day. So, yeah. I mean, it's really only been, 7 days. But it's just been like, why it seems so long? Because there's been 3 international games, since then. You know what I'm saying? So, I guess that's why it seems so long. But I feel like international breaks normally, 2 weeks. I don't know. But it felt like a month. Like, it did feel it felt like forever. Like, and I'm very happy that we got some football back. So, international break. Some of the Gooners went out. Our new signing, Tamiyasu, right? He was playing for Japan. And
played really well, too.
Played decent, from what I remember. I didn't get to see the whole game. I just heard. And who else played? I think it was, did Saka get some games?
Yeah, Saka played. He scored on his birthday and he got an assist.
Hey. And who else played?
I believe that was it. Xhaka got COVID, so he couldn't play.
I mean, that's a win for some people, you know what I mean?
just joking. There was a big discussion about him not being vaccinated, and
correct. And then Jose Mourinho famously putting on his Instagram comment to get a double jab, as if that's his player or something like that.
He said, "You'll get the jab, my man."
Why are you talking to our dog like that, bro? If you cared about him that much, you'd have bid more than $12 million for him.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, then again, it's not really it's not really his place. But
yeah,
still,
I was gonna say it's not really his.
I'm going with it. You can care so much about the guy, bid some more money. Huh? You care about his health status. You didn't care that much when Roma was lowballing us. But anyways, I digress. So Saka scored on his birthday. Tamiyasu played good. Xhaka got COVID. Anything else? Guendouzi played. I mean, he's technically still our player, right? So Guendouzi played for France. So that was dope.
Oh, Sambi actually Lukanga played as well.
Was that the first team or was that the U21?
Yeah, it was the first team.
Oh, nice.
They did say that he had a little discomfort, so that's why he didn't play the last two games.
Oh, it was a precaution though, right?
Precaution, definitely. Okay. But they said that that was the main reason why he didn't play the first two games.
Gotcha.
So he should be in contention for Saturday.
Let's hope so.
Yeah,
because Emile Smith Rowe was also ill as
he's
right?
Ill as well. They said it's not COVID related, but
he was playing with the U23s.
U21. Yeah, I feel like those are both the same damn thing.
But at this point,
it was the 23s. And Balogun were there.
Balogun was there too. Nice.
Yeah, and nice. John Jules was there as well.
John Jules is there too. TJJ. Yep. Okay.
I kind of want to say he scored, but don't quote me on that. I know he definitely played for sure.
Mr. Tyrese John Jules is who you're referring
something.
To. Did he? I hope he did. That'd be dope. He's on loan currently at Blackpool.
Blackpool, yeah.
Yes, he's currently on loan. I think it's a 1-year loan. He's still only 20 years old, so a young guy. I always kind of liked his game. And Blackpool is, where's Black? Is that they playing championship or league?
Yeah,
one?
They're in championship.
In championship? Okay. So I think he did score. So good for the lads. Mostly everybody, play. Did Ramsdale go to England too? Because I know he's the backup, right?
Or he's he was not. He wasn't there.
He wasn't there?
Oh, okay. No. I think Leno was with Germany, though.
Ah, all right. Gotcha.
As well.
Gotcha. Blackpool's doing terrible in EFL, by the way.
The first five games, they are doing
they haven't won a game. But, I mean, you know, more power to TJJ. All right, so enough about international break. Let's talk about... So, now that the window's over and our first game back off of international break will be against Norwich. They call it the relegation derby. And I denounce that. But, you know, it is what it is. I am... So, first of all, I'm a fan of Norwich. I think Norwich is a good team. I think they were unlucky to get relegated a couple years ago and made it right back up. I think they have some very good players. They have actually sold a couple of really good players already, like Mendia going to Villa for, like, what, 30 million, 31 million. So,
I thought it was, like, 35.
Was it 35? It might have been 35. I could have lowballed it. So it could be more than that. Yeah. So I have Todd Cantwell. We are a big fan of Todd Cantwell on this podcast.
Yes, definitely.
I think he's a baller for sure.
Yeah. I
hope he doesn't have a great game against us.
Yeah, I rate him. I rate him a lot.
But I think we definitely both are fans of his game. So let's do this then. Arteta, so you know he had an interview today. Today is Thursday, by the way. So he had an interview with the media that he does going ahead of the final training session, I think, or the second to last training session before Saturday. And he talked about all the players that were in contention and all the players that should hopefully be back. He talked about Kolasinac, who had a terrible tackle put on him against France. When he was playing in the national team for what is his national team again? I forgot the name of his national team, but it's
Bosnia.
Bosnia, yeah. So playing for Bosnia, he had a terrible tackle from the French center back that plays for Sevilla. What's his name? That was supposed to go to Chelsea, then he ended up not going.
Koundé,
yeah, terrible tackle. They said that he was okay. They're assessing him up until this weekend, so. I think he was back in training today. I don't know if he actually trained or not, but they said that he was, you know, wasn't any, like, didn't need surgery or anything like that. So that's good. So he's back. They also talked about Tomiyasu that he would be assessed as well, considering he may not have had his work permit, but we found out late this afternoon that the work permit was approved and that he may be in contention to play on Saturday, which we're hoping that he does make his debut. So with all of that being said, also Gabriel, Ben White, Partey, all of these guys are back in full training, which is amazing.
And Nketiah too, as much as
Eddie and Nketiah too as well. Listen, the more bodies, the better. All right. We all know I'm not his biggest fan either, but just him being there helps out. The more healthy people we have, the more we can, the more Arteta and his coaching staff can assess the squad. So we're just hoping everybody's healthy. So it's good. This is the first time we'll probably have, you know, 99% of the squad healthy since the season started, right? So that would be great. So let's talk about it. So considering everybody's healthy, let's do some probable lineups while we get here. This is probably going to be a shorter pod anyways. So let's just jump right into what we think the probable lineups will be. Let's just do it together. So in goal, first question, Ramsdale or Leno? Also considering Leno is coming back late from international break as well.
I still think Leno is going to have his position in goal.
I think so too. I mean, don't get me wrong, but you know, you got to ask the question nowadays, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to definitely say he's doesn't have as much leeway as he used to. So one mess up, he's definitely going to be.
The talks start to happen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's good to have competition. I personally think that I think he'll be playing goalkeeper all season. I don't think it's going to be one of those, you know, you play one bad game, you're dropped. I think he'll have pressure, But I think Leno's a good keeper at the end of the day. I mean, this is a great pickup for us having two good keepers. And if he wants to leave, then at least we know that we have some insurance now, finally. But I don't see him losing his spot anytime soon. Unless he does make some mistakes, like he makes some terrible mistakes.
Has a couple chances. Maybe if he makes a mistake, he'll probably have, I'll probably say maybe, like, depending on how bad the mistakes are, probably 2 to 3, give or take, before the discussions are definitely had.
I hear that.
But yeah,
that's fair.
I definitely see him keeping his position.
Yeah, me too.
For Saturday's game.
Me too. Okay,
what do you think about right back?
I mean, my heart, you know, my mind says we're going to play Callum or maybe even Ainsley. But my heart says, you know, play, you know, Tommy Ashu. But I can't call it, right? You know, it's hard to even say, you know, is he going to, if put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised either way. But if he's able to play, I think he should play. You know? So I'm hoping that Tomiyasu plays.
So you're picking him to start?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If he's 100% able to play and his work visa is good and he's there and he's available, yes, 100%.
Well, his work visa already got approved.
And unless there's some sort of insinuating circumstances that cause him not to be able to play, he should play.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely want to see him out there. We already know our right backs don't give us anything.
Anything.
So
at all.
It's definitely a struggle. So I feel like he should definitely get the game.
I guess we should have asked this before we started. You think we go back 4 or back 3?
I think we stay with the back 4.
Yeah, for now. Same. Okay, so center backs.
The two guys that just came back, I have Gabriel and White. I think they go right back into the starting lineup.
What you mean, man? Pablo Barry, man. He's Rob Olick. What's up?
Yeah, I feel like those two go right back into the starting lineup.
So you say you don't rate Pablo Mari and Rob Holding?
That is exactly right. But yeah, in the training video, you see them playing together a lot.
Like, correct. Yeah, they're next to each other the entire time.
That's the two that play. And they were going up against, I would arguably say, like the starters-ish.
Mm.
So that was definitely good to see.
Yeah, for sure. Them thing that me likes you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So. I peeped that too from the training pictures. They were right next to each other the whole time. All right, so left back, Glasnek or
Tierney. I'm not even gonna entertain your foolishness.
Ainsley.
I'm gonna go ahead and
Cedric.
I would even rather you said Ainsley before
Nuno. I kind of feel for Nuno because at this point it doesn't look like he's going to be starting any games anytime soon. But
yeah, but we already know that we were getting him not to start.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure, for sure. And you know, maybe some cup games here and there, get him into that. Okay, so we got the back line, and now this is when things get a little bit tricky. So I'm assuming we're going to stay with the double pivot. So who do you got?
Partey, and I have Sambi. But it's only if, obviously, if he's back to 100%, then...
Yeah, I think most people have that, too.
If not, I do have Ainsley in the middle with him.
Ainsley in the middle, okay. That's a curveball.
It's really not, because we have nobody else.
Got El Neni, man. What do you mean? We got hurt. Egyptian, what they call him? Egyptian.
El Neni is
hurt.
Oh,
is he still hurt?
What do you mean, still?
I just figured we just didn't see him in training because we just don't like taking pictures.
No, he got hurt. Guys that he's going to be out. He's going to be out for like 3 weeks.
What? So, when did he get hurt? International break?
Nah, bro, that's the whole reason why Charlie Patino got so much minutes. He got hurt in that behind closed door game.
Oh yeah, we gotta talk about Charlie Patino too. Yes, okay. Big, I didn't know that baller. We gotta talk about that. I didn't know he got hurt during that game. That sucks.
You know what's crazy? He low key might even be in the team.
That's what I was saying. We gonna talk about it. Let's just talk about it now.
I was gonna say.
So Charlie Patino. 2018, Reese Nelson in an interview said, "Remember the name, Charlie Patino." Funny enough, that name might be keeping
Reese Nelson. No. He said that about Sokka.
No, he said it about Charlie too.
No, but he just said that about Charlie recently. He said that last week.
There was a tweet Sokka and a couple other people. He said it was two names that he was these are the two, three guys that. In a couple years.
Nah, he was talking about soccer in 2018. He just wrote recently about Charlie Patino.
Let me see if I can find this. Anyways, yeah. So he said to remember the name. And since then, this guy's been has been lighting it up. So Charlie Patino, let's talk about it. Big baller, central midfield, right? How old is he right now? Let me take a look.
He's 17.
17, right? Yeah, 17. 17-year-old. Can we call him a wonder kid now? Is that the media likes to call any kid that's rumbling noise or sudden, all of a sudden the wonder
for
kid.
For me, I would call him a wonder kid when he makes his first team debut officially. Facts. Until then, I feel like he's just a top prospect in the youth academy. In my opinion.
So England,
By the way, I found it. It was Reese Nelson tells David Ornstein in 2018, there's only one you should watch out for, and it's Sokka.
Reese Nelson said
2021, Charlie Patino, remember the name.
Okay. Yeah, I stand corrected. So it was this year then.
Yeah.
He said that to Chris Wheatley.
Which is
Ornstein, Ornstein Jr. Great value, Ornstein.
Yeah, but he said it last week after he played that
Shout
game.
Shout out to Chris Wheatley, though. I rate him too. But I don't mean any disrespect.
He definitely drops all the knowledge.
Facts, big facts. Okay, so, I mean, Charlie Patino, 17-year-old out of Watford, youth academy. I guess a soon to be graduate of Arsenal of Hale End. Another one from the Hale End Academy.
I'm pretty sure he can play for Spain as well.
Really? I do see citizenship, England and Spain. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's Spanish.
He's born in Watford, but he must have Spanish parents.
Probably.
Okay. Cool. So D mid's his main position. He could also play the eight. From what people have been saying, and just a tidy player, man. You know, nice little left foot on him too. Really tidy player. So let's hope we see more of him. As of right now, it does look like he hopefully can get a bench appearance, considering what's going on with Elneny and obviously other players that are out. We'll see about that. And considering, Aziz is already on loan, which he would have probably, it looks like he's kind of looking to take that spot because Kiddo Hart has been playing a lot with the 18s and the 23s. So, I guess we'll see. Any other thoughts on Patino?
I mean, obviously I don't want to overhype him yet, but from what I saw,
you don't have to worry about that. Everybody else is overhyping.
Yeah, I know, right? But what I saw, he has some Frankie Dijon-esque traits in him. Like super calm on the ball, picking the ball up from way in the defense. Pretty much walking past players. So it's good to see that he's, he can change directions and have that calmness about his game.
Frankie's when it comes big to that, comparison.
So, yeah, and I think he deserves it, especially after what I just saw.
I agree with you though. I think he does have that calmness on the ball and that je ne sais quoi in the midfield. You know what I'm saying, working on my French. that ability to be calm. I think Sambi is another, and there's the next one that has that natural ability. Guendouzi as well. You know, center mids that aren't afraid to take the ball in tight spaces and turn laterally, and to be able to get out of bad situations and make it look easy. That's something that Frankie, being the best in the world at right now, is able to do quite well. So if Charlie has shades of that at age 17, I definitely think that's a very good sign. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, what more can you ask for?
For sure.
So
for sure,
I just hope he gets his chance to play as much as he can before all of these injuries and all the players that were missing. I was expecting him to just make an appearance in the cup match at the end of the month, but shoot, I think he might deserve to be on the bench right now.
So. I think so, man. I think so. But we'll see, right?
Yep, definitely.
So let's go back to the starting 11. So Lokonga or Partey, or you're looking at Ainsley / Partey, right?
Yeah, I have Sambi and Partey starting, but Ainsley would be my backup just in case, you know, just because we heard about the discomfort that Sambi had, so I didn't play the last few games. But
correct.
Yeah, that's my two in the double pivot.
So okay. So who do you have in the 10? 10 rule.
Odegaard. I feel he's the only person that can play there right now. Smith Rowe is not available. So I think it's kind of given that Odegaard would be that player. So
Smith Rowe, I know it's the illness, but did he train today? Did we see him in training? I don't think he trained, right? So yeah, he he's probably not in it.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like they're trying to give him as much time. So if he's available in tomorrow's training session, he might be in contention to be on the bench, but
which I think is, you know, we shouldn't be in a rush to rush him back either. You know, we need him, but you know, shouldn't be in a big rush.
My thing is, I will if he's available, I'll keep him on the bench. Not to say I'd play him, but he definitely can be on the bench to, you know, be an option.
Yeah,
maybe get 10-15 minutes at the end of the game if we absolutely need it.
Gotcha. Okay. And okay. So who do you got on the right wing?
Pepe.
Okay. All right. And on the left?
Saka.
Okay. And I'm assuming up top, Eddie and Tekke.
Yeah. Eddie definitely deserves a start.
I mean, you know, after the amazing, you know, non-games he's been playing, you should probably start this guy. All right, so okay. All right. I agree with most of everything you're saying. I think that's probably our best formation as of today, considering no Emile Smith-Rowe, things like that. And I think we're going to see a lot of variations this year. I think a lot. I think we will see a lot of variations of the front three. I think at certain points we will see a double kind of like a inverted triangle in the midfield with one instead of a double pivot, instead of two D mids and one attacking mid. I think we'll see one D mid and two attacking mids, possibly Partey by himself and Odegaard and Emile Smith Rowe in the midfield together. I think that may be a possibility at one point this season.
I would definitely love to see that.
Yeah, I think considering how dynamic our backline will hopefully become with Ben White, Tomiyasu, and Gabriel and Kieran Tierney, I think Partey, once he's fit, should be able to anchor that backline by himself, which would give enough leeway for two attacking mids to be able to be expansive. And then have Almost kind of like a 4-1. Remember how we did that with Wenger? We played like a 4-1-4-1 that one time, like that one season when I think it was Sanchez's first season with us. And it was actually, yes, it was. It was because he scored. Remember, he scored on his debut against Man City. He scored 2 goals, I think.
Yeah.
On his debut. And we ended up tying that game. I remember Sanchez taking his shirt off after he scored because he thought he scored the winner. Because like, I think it was Jack Wilshere that like gave him the assist and he ran down. We were like, oh my God, we're about to beat City. And then they ended up tying the game. It was a joke. But we played 4-1-4-1. Under Wenger, and I remember looking at that like, wow, it looked kind of like a 4-5-1, but it really was like a 4-1-4-1, and I feel like we could definitely do that under Arteta with who we have. I'd also like to see Lacazette in the pivot once in a while. I just feel like the best partnership, I mean, to this day, since Aubameyang's been here, I think Lacazette has assisted him on the most on majority of the goals that he's scored. I don't think anyone else has assisted Lacazette. I mean, Aubameyang more than Lacazette since he's been at the club. And as much as people think that they don't play well together, I think it's just depending upon the system that they play in. Also considering the fact that Lacazette was our top goal scorer last year, pretty much playing the 10. I'd like to see him in the pivot or in the 10. Role sometimes.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know about maybe not the 10, but I feel like we should definitely
or play two, up, two top. Up top. Yeah, so I mean he'd be occupying the space. I wouldn't say just start him there, but yeah, maybe like a 4-2-2-2. You know what I mean? Like a four back four, two center mids, two wide players, and then two up top. Like Aubameyang and Lacazette up top together. I think certain points of the games, like if we're chasing games, we'll definitely see that. I think we'll definitely see Aubameyang and Lacazette up top at certain points this season. But, you know, something like that. I would like to see that. Or, you know, maybe Lacazette up top and Aubameyang on the left. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that tomorrow. I don't think that would happen.
I don't want
to
see that.
I don't want to see it either to start, considering that means Saka or Pepe would be off the field. But we'll see.
Knowing Arteta, he loves to.
I don't think that's happening, because
he likes to make Pepe a scapegoat.
So. Yeah, true. But when's the last time Lacazette and Aubameyang have started together? You know what I mean? Like that I think under Arteta, we're at the point now. And had Pepe not been sick, he probably would have played it. He would have started against City more than likely because he started against Chelsea and he started against Brentford. So, yeah,
I agree.
You know, I think maybe this is, you know, and Willian's gone too. So, you know, maybe this is a sign. Maybe this is Pepe's season at this point. So...
He definitely was one of our bright spots. The first two games, even though we lost both of them, but he was definitely our.
Bright spot. He was definitely one of the bright spots of the game for sure.
And against West Brom, I know it was against West Brom, but still, game is a game.
Game's a game.
Who's in front of you?
So. That's a fact. So Norwich has been playing mainly 4-3-3, for what I've seen since the start of the season. And you know, it's funny, they've had a very similar start to the season like us. Yep. Back to a 5-0 loss to City. They lost 2-1 to Leicester. Like, we lost 2-0 to Chelsea, and then they beat Bournemouth 6-0 in EFL, just like how we beat West Brom in the EFL. So it's been kind of, you know, a very similar season for them and for us. I personally think they're going to probably go out 4-3-3 again, just like how they have been going pretty much all season. They're danger players, as we still know. Todd Cantwell, Billy Gilmore. He's over there.
He's a baller.
I actually didn't even realize he was there. But Billy Gilmore is a very good player, Scottish international, former Chelsea player. He's over there too as well, another really good player. Max Aarons, I think he'll be getting up and down a lot this game too, the right back that was also linked with a move to Arsenal. They have a decent keeper, Tim Krul, who's just been having a nightmare of a season, just, you know, just off the strength of playing City and Leicester the first two games of the season. So this is, like I said, this is a team that's been unlucky, man. They've just been an unlucky team, just like we have kind of in a sense. So, you know, we'll see. After us, they have They got Norwich. I mean, Norwich. They have Watford next week, which I think is a winnable game. And then they have Liverpool in the third round of EFL. And then they have Everton, Burnley, and Brighton in EPL. And then Chelsea and Leeds. It's just a thing, man. It's just like when you start bad, it's just every game. I mean, at this point in the season, how many games can you say is like, yeah, these are easy 3 points? You just can't. I don't like to look at the table after three games. You know, the table starts to take shape in October, right? End of October, early November is really when November, December is really when it starts to take more shape. But like, you can start to look at the table at this point. But I mean, you look at this season, and how many games can you really say are just guaranteed points, right? Wolves haven't won a game yet.
They haven't scored a goal.
Scored a goal either. I mean, they haven't conceded as much as us, but they haven't scored. Newcastle hasn't won a game yet. Burnley, Leeds, Palace, Southampton. It's a lot. It's a lot. Then you got the Brentfords that are doing decent. They have one win, two ties. They haven't lost yet. Brentford hasn't lost a game yet. They played three games, haven't lost one. Brighton, they're 2-0 and 1. It's a lot. So now the window's closed, I definitely want to let's do our predictions, which we didn't get to do in the last pod. Top six predictions and bottom three. What you got?
I think I'm not going to change mine too much. I don't think I think I still got United winning. Then I have Chelsea, City, Liverpool, Leicester. We can stay healthy. I feel like we can kind of sneak into that sixth spot, but that all will determine if we're healthy or not. So I'm going to give us that sixth spot. Bottom three, I'm going to go Norwich. I'm going to go Burnley, and I'm going to go that's a tough one, man.
It is, right? It's very tough.
That last spot, I'm probably going to go with Southampton.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I'm going to go United. I think United might win it all this season. United, Chelsea. I think City will go third because they're going to focus on Champions League. And I think fourth will be Liverpool. Then fifth, I'm going to go... Fifth is tough. Fifth, I'm going to go... Tottenham. Tottenham at fifth.
Yeah?
I'm going to go Tottenham. I just think that team right now is clicking. Bergwijn and Son and Kane, it's just a deadly front three. And every time we keep saying, oh, they get injured, then, you know, it's always somebody just ends up doing it. I'm going to go fifth, Tottenham. I'm going to go sixth. It's a toss-up between Leicester and Everton for me. I think Leicester may struggle with – they're in the Europa League this year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They're going to struggle.
They might even be in Champions League.
Yeah, I was going to say, they might be. Were they top four last year?
They're in Europa League.
Okay. Yeah, so I think they're going to struggle. Everton's not in Europa League, though. Did they get a Europa League spot?
Nah, they didn't. I think they were behind us.
Yeah, they were in mid-table. I mean, West Ham, I don't believe them. They're in a Europa League spot too, so I don't think they're gonna last. I mean, granted, they have the top goal scorer right now, who's Jamaican, by the way. So big ups to Antonio, and he's second in assist right now too. It's kind of crazy, but yeah, that's my top six. My bottom three. I'm gonna go. I don't want to say Norwich, man. I don't, because they've just been unlucky. I mean, it's just been tough. Like you, I mean, just like us, you play Leicester and City your first two games of the season. Like, what are you, you know what I mean? Like, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, Liverpool, City, and Leicester the first three games of the season. Those are three of the top six teams in the Premier League. I mean, I think they're gonna pick it up, but it's just hard when you're already down. You know what I'm saying? It's so difficult.
That's my main reason why I have them in the
bottom. However. Half. I'm going to go, I think I got Newcastle down there, man. They don't look good. They haven't played really anyone. They lost to Burnley in the EFL second round, the PKs. They lost convincingly to Villa 2-0. They tied Southampton 2-2. But then they got United coming up. Then they got Leeds. They got Watford, Wolves, Tottenham, Palace, Chelsea. Like, I don't know when they're gonna get me. Like, when are they gonna be getting 3 points? Like, where is that gonna come from? You see what I'm saying? So I got Newcastle down there. The thing about Burnley, man, is just they know how to play against the big six. Like, they know how to get points. So it's rough. Like, even to start the season, yeah, they lost 2-0 to Liverpool. They lost 2-1 to Burnley. I mean, to Brighton. And then they tied 1-1 to Leeds. And they got Everton, then they got us, then they got Leicester, then they got Norwich, then they got City, then they got Southampton. So, like, again, I don't know where they've been getting points from. So I might go Burnley second, and then Palace. I think this is time. I think it's time. Palace has looked not very good either, and they haven't played anybody. I mean, I'm trying to give
my guy the benefit of the doubt that he's going to get the
ball. I mean, they played Chelsea first game and they lost 3-0. And then they played Brentford second game, that was 0-0, and then they tied to West Ham 2-2. But then they got Tottenham coming up, then Liverpool, and then Brighton, then Leicester, then us, then Newcastle, then City. So I think Palace has the best has the most talent out of those three teams. So if it's not them, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, Watford looks kind of good right now. And then they haven't played anybody either, but they lost to Tottenham 1-0. So I'm looking at these teams, and I'm just saying, like I said, it's hard because it's only three games, right? But the way I'm looking at it right now, like the Watfords and the Brentfords that have already kind of pushed themselves up the table gives themselves already that advantage. You know what I'm saying? So when they play the bottom teams, they just got to get a point. You know what I'm saying? At this point, you know, it's crazy because there's three main battles right now in the Premier League. There's the top six battle. Then you got the mid table battle, which is guys that are trying to jump to the top six or guys that are trying to stay out of the bottom of the table. And then you got the relegation battle. You know what I'm saying? So it's every week is so important in the Premier League because every team is difficult. Any team can beat you on any given day. You know, Newcastle can go beat a City on any given day. A Wolves can, you know what I'm saying? A Brentford that's newly promoted hasn't lost a game yet. You know what I'm saying? And I think things will level out, like we said, in November, December, but will it? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's why we're so worried is because is these teams like a Norwich, they're going to feel like they can come over here and get a point from us, maybe even three. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because of that. Yeah. And I think that's why we got to really kind of, you know, punch him in the mouth as soon as we get there. It has to be. And it's a lot of pressure. It's going to be packed on Saturday. We know that. But if we go down early, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be very, very difficult because that crowd may turn on us in a second. That's why it's so important to kind of go in there and punch him in the mouth very early, try to get an early goal. And control the game. You know what I mean? So
I agree.
So yeah. Top goal scorer. Who you got this year?
Pepe.
Oh, not for us. I meant for the Premier League. I mean, yeah, for us and the Premier League. Let's do that.
For us, I'm going to go Pepe. For the Premier League, sheesh. I think I'm going to take, it's going to be a tie between Salah and Son.
Oh, okay. You think Salah's going back with vengeance?
Of course. I feel like Salah is always.
No love for Antonio?
He's
leading it right now.
I'm gonna say he will be probably top, six.
That's good.
That's very good. But I'm not gonna say top. I do, and the reason why I say that is just because I feel like West Ham's gonna slow down, like we just discussed. So
true. Okay. For us. I'm gonna go Aubameyang. I think Aubameyang is gonna be reset this year. I think he'll do it.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I was gonna have him at second, but
yeah, I think he'll reclaim it this year though. I think this is a big turnaround year for him. Obviously last year with COVID and malaria and all that kind of stuff, it was difficult, injuries. So I think this will be it for him this year. For the Premier League, CR7. I'm just kidding. Maybe not.
He's scoring.
I wish it'd be Antonio. It'd be dope to have a Jamaican be a top goal scorer for the Premier League. That's probably the first time that would ever happen. I'm gonna go. Salah really is a good shout. Bruno's already at 3, but that's all gonna stop because he's not taking any more PKs this season. Not with Ronaldo on the field. Let's see. So right now, Antonio's first, Bruno's second. Antonio's first with 4, Bruno's second with 3, Calvert-Lewin's third with 3, Mason's third, a fourth with 3 again. So they're all pretty basically tied for second. Then you have Benrahma, Pablo Fornals. So, man, West Ham has 3 top 5 goal scorers right now. Kane's already starting back, but it's hard to not vote against Kane, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of hard. Salah might win it too. Salah might actually win it. Danny Ings is up there too. He's got 2 already. I'm going to go Kane. I'm going to go Kane because I just think that as long as he's on the field, the game's going to go through him. And Tottenham honestly don't win without him or Son scoring goals. And if I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet on any of these top 5 goal scorers right now. So let's go assist.
I agree.
Us and then the Premier League.
Us.
You want me to go first?
I'm going to go Saka.
Dope.
And for the league, I'm going to go De Bruyne.
KDB. Yeah, you got to stay healthy, though. That's the main thing. You got to get on the field. For us, I'm going to go Odegaard. I'm going to go Odegaard. And for Premier League, I'm going to go who's number one right now. Paul, Mr. Perdi, Pogba.
Damn. Yeah, I'm going to change mine.
He's at 5 right now.
Yeah.
Antonio's at 3 in second, and Gabriel's at 3 in third. I guess tied for second. Pereira's at 2 right now. Brent Benarama's at 2. Reece James at 2. Salah's at 2. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Pogba.
I'm gonna go with Pogba as well.
I think he might win it. All right, so we're gonna go in our quick questions, and then we're gonna call it because we're just gonna be doing a review pod after that. Hopefully, sometime this weekend. Let's do 3. Can we do 3? Get 3 questions. All right. First question. This is from Sheldon in Trinidad. Shout out to Sheldon. Friend of the show. I appreciate you. He says, Let me see. I guess really two good questions. Do you guys support the direction the club decided to take with the young, relatively under the radar signings, or should we have gone down the big player spending route, buying players in their peak? Good question, Sheldon. So we tried that we thought we were doing the Project Youth thing with Wenger towards the end, right? When they had Jenkinson and all the English core and that whole thing, and then that didn't work out. But I do think we're making the right decision by buying the 23 and under and relatively under the radar players, because I guess Odegaard's not necessarily under the radar, right? But Lokonga, Tamiyasu, Ben White, a lot of these guys are under the radar, even though we may have overspent on a few of those guys. I think it was a very good decision by the board, and Arteta has said on multiple occasions that the direction of the club and where we're going is starting with the owners, and he seems to continue to say that they're in unison, from the owners to the technical directors to the head coach. I mean, they're all trying to do this, and this is a long-term play at the end of the day. Like I said, when Klopp first got to Liverpool, it was the same thing. It was a long-term thing. I mean, it happened in 4 or 5 years, which was good. It was a big turnaround for them. It was spearheaded by great decisions that they made prior to Klopp getting there in terms of how they sold Suarez and Coutinho and the money that they got from that. But I think it's a good idea. I think we've gotten not only just the player profile of these guys in terms of their abilities, but they're all mentally too. I mean, Lokonga was a captain at one point, and he's only 23. Odegaard is his country's captain. He's a captain of Norway. You know, Ben White has had, they've said Ben White has great leadership qualities too as well. So, you know, Tamiyasu has captained Japan before too as well. So, I mean, you got 3-4 captains in the side that are all relatively very young players. So I think that's a very, very good. It's just difficult when you're in a league like the EPL, where it moves so quickly. You know what I mean? So you just don't have the same time that Klopp, the time Klopp had 6, 7 years ago, Arteta doesn't have that luxury. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to say yes, take all the time you need, but then also hurry up so we don't get, you know, fucking relegated or like drop the mid table. So do I think it's a good idea? Yes. I like the club, the direction the club's going, but we also have to pair that with giving Arteta time. We can't just say, yeah, let's do this, but then let's also have a carousel of managers every 2 years that aren't exactly going to like the same exact plan that we're using for the aforementioned managers. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got to kind of figure it out. Then at the same time, you also it's a thin line, right? Because if we are 13th by December, something's got to change as well, too, right? So, you know, it's a thin line between giving the manager time to fulfill the long-term goals that we have and also having to make sure we don't drop so far back that the goals are unattainable completely. What do you think?
I agree. I do think that it was time for us to, you know, kind of start fresh and get a lot of the youth players in. But I also feel like you kind of need a good mixture of youth and a set of serious, you know, experienced players that have good habits that will help mold and teach these young kids what they need to do in order to be successful and kind of get the club back on top.
Facts. And so, not to cut you off too, I agree with all of that 100%. I think that's where some of our issues lie, because our older guys aren't necessarily those types of veterans, right? Like Aubameyang, for instance. He's a good guy, great locker room guy. People like him. However, would you say he's a leader amongst men? I don't know about that. Would you say that he's a great influence on young players? Probably a good influence, an okay influence. Maybe leads by example, but not really the type of guy that's going to put the arm around the young players, right? Lacazette's probably the best one we have right now, because most of the young players have been saying that they've learned a lot from him. Emile Smith Rowe, Saka, et cetera, et cetera. And even him, he's not really that type of guy either. Like, not the most ideal guy, you know what I'm saying? Partey, another one. He's got a lot of young center mids at this club right now. looking at this guy, right? Partey's another guy that doesn't really just say leader, right? He doesn't look like one of those Patrick Vieira, Roy Keane types, right? Like that looks like he'd be leading us in that sense. Our Tony Adams type, we don't have that at the club right now. Xhaka's that guy, really. If we look at it, if we really deep it, right, it's Xhaka. Unfortunately, and I think that's a big problem, is the fact that we don't have that veteran leadership in the locker room and on the practice field and on the field for the kids to look at, or the young players. These aren't kids. Let's be real. 23 years old, you're not a kid, right? You're a young adult, right? So we need some guys there that would do that, and I think that's a big reason why I was all for Jack Wilshere coming back to train and just having some of that older, some of the older era guys to come back in. Maybe like even a Santi Cazorla, if it could be like a coach or something like that. You know what I mean? Somebody these players can look to and say, you know these are the guys. You know, Thomas Rosicky. It's just something, anybody, you know, that could come in and help. Because that's been a problem. It's been a long problem for years now, though. It's been this problem since the end of the Wenger era into the Emery era. I mean, it's been an issue. Leadership has been an issue. And I think without veteran leadership, it's hard, man. It's really hard. You look at all the teams that have won in the past in this era, Chelsea, City, Liverpool, they've had those guys. City had the companies. Chelsea has had you know, the Azpilicuetas and the you know, and those guys, you know, the Essiens and the John Terrys and the Gary Cahills and those guys, the Lampards, and Liverpool's had Jordan Henderson and all of those guys. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, even it's even with United, you know, they've had their guys too. And now they have CR7, you know what I mean? And not to say that he's a model person, but he's going to be demanding a lot. When CR7 steps on the training pitch, guess what? I guarantee you everybody's straightening up, right? I guarantee you everyone's going to be like, oh, shit, let me make sure my first touch is good. You see what I'm saying? Who's that guy at Arsenal that's going to do that? Who's that guy that's going to step on the training pitch and everyone has to sharpen their game up? Who is it? As of right now, who is it?
It's a good question.
You know what I'm saying?
I have it.
We don't. We don't at all. And I think that is that's an issue within itself, because then that continues the narrative that we're soft or we don't. You know what I'm saying? Or it keeps that averageness around. And I don't know if that's a word, but you know, you get what I'm saying. It keeps that around. It doesn't, you know, you don't get to spike that. So I think that's a big problem with the team currently. But good question, Sheldon. I appreciate that. You got one? Let me see if I can go find another one. And shout out to everybody who's been sending questions in too. We do appreciate that.
Definitely.
I guess we can go to Sheldon's last question, because he had two. What's a realistic timeline Arteta needs to really start competing with this young squad? Again, shout out to Sheldon. You go
realistically,
first.
Realistically, I'd probably say a year or two, but for me, like,
is that realistic, though?
Well, I mean, no, but at the end of the day, that's what it's going to take. Mm-hmm. Because, like, he has the young core now, and I feel like in the summer, if he's still here, of course, that's when he can start to add maybe some more experienced players to kind of help mold this young crew that he has.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to say a year, but like it's only going to be a year if you're getting, you know, victories.
True.
Like if you're not getting victories, obviously, you know, Arsenal's too big of a club to be just taking loss after loss after loss. And then you kind of your job is just secured.
Yeah.
And there's already reports saying that, you know, they're looking for replacements if it doesn't get better. Because they don't want the same thing that happened with Emery to happen with Arteta. So I understand that. I definitely think that's the right thing to do. You know, so that way you're always prepared. But realistically, with the team that he has, I'd say a year.
I mean, competing for what though? I guess that's the main question, right? It's competing for major trophies.
Yeah, I mean, or yeah,
competing if just it's in major, the Premier League.
Okay, so if it's, I'm just saying like
getting just competing, us back to, yeah, getting like
us,
playing,
well, getting us back to Europe.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And that's obviously top six or top seven, depending on, you know, just in case one of the English teams wins the European trophy this year. Realistically, getting us back to Europe, it'd probably be a year. Getting us, you know, fighting for the title. I feel like that depends on who they bring in, because if they bring in somebody that you know gets everything clicking right then and there, it could definitely be a year,
true,
next season. But obviously, that determines on who they bring in and what they bring to the table and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I'd just say a year to get us back to Europe, and then depending on the experienced players that are brought in, that's another year, I guess.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I agree with you. I think you need a solid year, but it's, I mean, the year goes by fast, man. Because we were talking about that 2 years ago in Emery, like, oh, you know, Aubameyang, Lacazette, Pepe needs a year, and then you know, look how much things have changed since then. You know what I'm saying? So it depends, man. Can they stay healthy? Can we, you know, can they do what Arteta needs to get done? Can the other players around them stay healthy enough for them to flourish? How do they respond to adversity? You know, how do they, injuries, like we said, can they stay healthy? You know, it's just a lot. It's a lot. And realistically speaking, that could happen this year or it could never happen. What's the plan B? I don't even want to think about the plan B right now because I feel like this is the plan A and the plan B, right? So, so I don't really know, man. I'm not too sure. And I hope it does work out within that time. So shout outs to Sheldon, like we said. I've seemed to misplace the rest of these, so forgive me, everybody that did send those questions, keep sending them in. But I think this is a good stopping point anyways, because we wanted to make it a quick pod and really just want to see what happens on Saturday. Again, huge game. And let's just do quick predictions for the game.
2-0
goal scorers.
Aubameyang and Pepe.
Nice. You've been riding the Pepe wave, boy. Can't tell him.
Come on, bro. You know, Pepe is my guy.
I got, I'm going to go 3-1. I don't think we're going to keep a clean sheet. I'm going to go Aubameyang. I'm gonna go Aubameyang, Pepe, Lacazette. So I'm gonna go with Aubameyang, Pepe, Lacazette comes on to seal it, gives us a brace.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yep. And I don't know who they're gonna score, but somebody. Buckups. That's what's gonna happen. it's gonna be Buckups. They're gonna score. Maybe a PK. Who knows? Yeah, that's what I got. So. Look, man, hope for all the best. And again, guys, thanks for listening today. We're going to hopefully do a review pod next, hopefully maybe either Sunday or early next week, where we talk about Arsenal beating Norwich and moving on to their next game, which will be Burnley away from home at Burnley. Another game that will be kind of tough because they're really good against the top teams. If we consider us that. And then we have EFL Third Cup midweek, that following week, which would be against AFC Wimbledon, and then the North London Derby, September 26th, which we'll definitely be doing a preview pod, and I'll probably have a guest on for that. All right? So Sorry, I had some technical difficulties there. But as we were saying, so we should definitely have the pod next week. And then we'll be going over the game and the review and go over some more questions. So we appreciate everybody that's been listening. It's been rocking with us from all over, from Florida to Canada to Jamaica to Australia to Europe. It's just been a humbling experience. So we're definitely going to try to get as much as we can, as much content as we can to you guys on a weekly basis. So thank you guys for that. Any last words, Mr. Sick?
Nah, man, just gonna thank everybody for showing the support. We're definitely gonna keep this going. Yeah, man, I just can't wait to see how we do this weekend.
So that we're for sure. This is gonna make or break our weekend.
Yeah, so exactly.
I'm hoping it makes it. Positive vibes, man. Positive vibes.
Always, here, man.
All right, bro. Well, I appreciate you. I know we'll be talking soon, and we'll be back on the pod very soon for the listeners. And if nothing else, peace.
Peace.